British politicians, as a rule, have shown little interest in tackling the problem of poor quality food and its relationship to health. These policy failures go back to the 19th century. Our early industrial revolution meant that a larger percentage of the population lost its connection with agriculture at an earlier stage than in any other country. When it comes to food policy, there has long been an attitude of leave it to the market, the shining exception being the two world wars, when the constraints of rationing forced governments to join the dots on food and health. Campaigners against the grossly adulterated food supply in Victorian times sometimes complained that the selling of food in London operated on buyer beware principles, which meant that grocers were free to sell poisonous pickles and fake coffee to an unsuspecting public without fear of retribution. Not much has changed, except that instead of poisonous pickles, we are sold a surfeit of ultra-processed food. Recent English obesity policies have spoken endlessly of action to help people eat healthier diets, but what they deliver, often as not, is another raft of patronizing diet information leaflets, such as the bright yellow Change for Life diet pamphlets handed out in schools and GP surgeries. One uninspiring gem. If you're shopping for packaged snacks for your children, try sticking to 100-calorie snacks. For three decades, Theas and White found, successive governments have repeatedly proposed similar or identical policies and then not done anything to see them through. What counts as an obesity policy could be anything from a plan of action to a statement of intent. Whichever party has been in charge, the most popular policies have been ones placing high demands on individuals to make personal changes, such as the five-a-day campaign, rather than meaningful reforms, such as restricting the sale of unhealthy foods or subsidizing fruits and vegetables to make them more affordable. Most of the ideas for structural interventions, for example, that the food industry should reformulate its unhealthiest products, were voluntary. Unsurprisingly, compliance was not high. One of the few exceptions has been the soft drinks industry levy, aka sugar tax, of 2018, which resulted in a 30-gram-a-week drop in household sugar consumption. But I suspect that this will turn out to be a Pyrrhic victory, given evidence that consuming aspartame, the artificial sweetener used in many diet drinks, also causes weight gain, as well as possibly altering the gut microbiome.